Tonight's sermon is based on the passage from Mark chapter 4 that I read just earlier. And as we prepare to hear God's word and let it grow strong in our lives, let's pray. Heavenly Father, pour out your Holy Spirit on me that I may speak your word to your people and on each person gathered here tonight so that your word may grow in our hearts and produce good fruit for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you alt tab two? Yep, the flash, yep. Dear sisters and brothers in Christ, parables. We all know what parables are about. We've heard them if we've grown up and been to Sunday school. We've heard them since we were very young. Parables are simple stories comparing one thing to another and giving us some insights into various different aspects of God's kingdom. That's right, isn't it? Well, actually, when we start to look at the parables of Jesus, we find out that they are much more controversial, hard to understand, and difficult to explain than we might have first believed. In particular, in Mark 4, verse 10 to 12, when Jesus tells the first parable of the kingdom, which is the parable of the man scattering seed, he says something very surprising when his disciples come to ask him the meaning of the parable. Mark chapter 4, verse 10. When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked about the parables. He told them, "The secrets of the kingdom of God have been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing, but never perceiving, be ever hearing, but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." In other words, the parables are meant to conceal, not reveal, the kingdom. Only those on the inside of the kingdom are given the insight into what they really mean. So there's a lot more going on here than simple Sunday school stories. And the basic principle with the parables is look for the unexpected. There's always going to be something that you do not expect in the parables of Jesus, although we have become familiar with them from constant use. Look for the unexpected. And with that principle in mind, I'd like to go, first of all, to the second of the parables that I have read out, that Jesus preached, the parable of the mustard seed. As Jesus began to preach about the kingdom of God, the people around him, the people of Israel, would have been hanging on his words. The kingdom of God is coming? That means that God is going to overthrow the Romans and come in glorious power and might and set us free and set up the kingdom of his King David. It'll be good days for us when the kingdom of God comes. And so when the kingdom of God, when Jesus says the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, they must have gone, "Seriously? What are you talking about, Jesus?" That's a picture of a mustard seed in a pair of fingers there. I found some in the Sunday school room, so I'm sure that they used them for something this morning. The mustard seed was proverbial. Here's one. Can you see it? Proverbial for being one of the smallest of seeds that was commonly planted in a garden in Israel. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed? Come on. We're expecting something mighty and powerful and glorious, and you're telling us the kingdom of God is this tiny little thing that is so small and vulnerable and could so easily get lost? What's that all about? Well, Jesus also spoke about a mustard seed somewhere else, and I wonder if anyone can help me out with a memory quotation from Jesus about a mustard seed. Can anyone think of the one? Nope. Aha! It's about faith. You can... Who said that? Yes, in Matthew, Jesus says, if you have faith as big as a mustard seed, you can tell this mountain to go throw itself into the sea and it will obey you. And in Luke chapter 17, Jesus also speaks about mustard seed faith. Let me just read those verses to you. Luke 17, verse 3 to 6. Jesus says to the disciples, if your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you seven times in a day and seven times comes back to you and says, I repent, forgive him. The apostles must have thought that this was a pretty hard call by Jesus, you know, forgiving your brother seven times over in a day. So they said, the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. He replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Mustard seed faith, the kingdom of God, is about forgiveness. It's about trust in God that his forgiveness and his good news for you through Jesus is actually real and is actually meant for you. The kingdom of God at heart is about faith. This is such good news for us, because if we have faith the size of a mustard seed, Jesus says all of our prayers will be answered. If we have the tiniest imaginable amount of faith, that's enough. I don't know about you, but sometimes I look at myself and my own faith and I go, I don't think I have a very strong faith right now. I don't think I'm trusting God very well right now. I don't know if anyone else ever experiences that. Jesus is saying it's not the size of your faith that matters. It's not how strong your faith is. It's that your faith is placed in the right person, in him. That's what the kingdom of God is about at heart. So it helps us to look away from ourselves and our tiny little faith and look to the one in whom we place our faith. Look to Jesus. So back to the parable. Jesus says, when you plant it, this mustard seed, the kingdom of God, becomes the largest of all garden plants. With such big branches, the birds of the air can come and perch in its shade. Once again, look for the unexpected. As I researched for this sermon, I discovered that mustard is actually a plant in the brassica family, like cauliflower, broccoli, Brussels sprouts. And it doesn't actually grow into a large plant. Here is a man standing in a field of mustard plants. So people would have heard Jesus and gone, what? You don't get a big plant when you plant a mustard seed? What is he talking about? The kingdom of God may appear to be small, but it has completely unexpected and completely transformative results in a person's life. You might think that a tiny little bit of faith might make a nice little decorative bush of difference in your life. But Jesus says that when that tiny little bit of faith, the kingdom of God, is planted in your heart, it does something totally unexpected and totally transformative, bigger than we could have ever believed. Jesus is also referring back to the passage from Ezekiel where God says he will take a shoot and he will plant it and it will grow into this great cedar where the birds of the air can come and perch in its branches. The kingdom of God is having a transforming effect on you in ways that are going to be completely unexpected, far, far bigger than what you could ever realize. So, with those things, those unexpected things under our belt, we'll go on to the first of the parables that we read tonight, where Jesus says, the kingdom of God is like a growing seed. And I found this fantastic YouTube clip of seeds sprouting and growing, time-lapse photography. And the little shoots getting longer and longer, and the grains are kind of wiggling, and now the sprouts come up, and they wave backwards and forwards in the light, and they grow taller and taller. And as we were watching this clip, one of my daughters said to me, "Dad, it looks like the seeds are alive." And I said, "Yes, they are. Isn't that exciting?" And they are alive. They're bringing new life out of a tiny little seed. And that is exactly like the kingdom of God. Because in the previous parable, Jesus says that the sower plants the word. The word is alive. These are the people who made the video, sprout people. Maybe we're sprout people too. God has planted his word in our hearts, and the word is living and active, and it grows and it produces something much bigger than what was originally planted in us. That word is the good news of what God does for you through Jesus. The good news of his forgiveness and his love and his grace. And Jesus says these words, "Night and day, whether the planter sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear." All by itself, the gospel of God does its work. Without you having to do anything. All by itself, God's living and powerful good news works in your life to produce grain or fruit. Both of them are very closely connected in the biblical narrative. This also is good news for us. And it's very surprising and very challenging in our performance-oriented culture. Perhaps, also like me, you wonder occasionally, am I doing enough good stuff for God? Am I doing enough prayer and Bible reading? Am I proclaiming God's word enough to people? Am I witnessing enough? Jesus says that you don't need to worry about that, that the kingdom of God, through his word, produces good results in your life. You don't have to try hard to be a good Christian. It's the gospel which is the power of God for salvation, not a new set of laws that you need to put yourself under. A wheat plant does not have to try hard to produce grains of wheat. A fruit tree does not have to try hard to bud and produce fruit. That's just what they do because of what they are. You, as a Christian, do not have to grit your teeth and try to do good works for God because that's who you are. God's gospel is at work in you to produce good fruit that you may never even recognize or see. And this reminds me of a couple more passages. Here they are. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 16 to 17, Jesus says these quite amazing words. Hang on, I'll just find it in my Bible. Jesus says, 7, I've gone to 17, sorry about that. Jesus says, "By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit." You, by virtue of the word and the power of the Holy Spirit, bear good fruit for God, whether you recognize it or not. And Galatians 5, 22 to 23, everyone knows that passage. It's the fruits of the Spirit. Not the fruits of your effort. And the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All by itself, the seed produces good fruit. The gospel of God is at work in you to transform your life to God's glory and to bring fruit that is pleasing to Him. This is great news for us. The parables of the kingdom are always surprising, always unexpected, but they also bring God's good news into our lives. Where is the kingdom of God that Jesus talks about? Here is the kingdom of God, starting from tiny beginnings in our lives as individuals and as a community, and growing into something greater than could have ever been expected. Living, producing, growing to God's glory. The kingdom of God is here. It is at work among you. It has been planted in your heart. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And the peace of God, which comes from knowing His gift of faith and that He is working good things in you, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, now and always. Amen.